Every week at this time, we visit with the folks at the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. That we are doing right now. Mary Beth Hughes is with us. Mary Beth, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. Did you have a good weekend?
You know what? Yes. Well, didn't start great. Got to tell you, didn't start great when about 2:33 o'clock on Friday afternoon, you learn that the congressman you've been supporting for a while now, been voting for, and vocally in support of, is not going to be running for re-election. That's not the way to kick off the weekend. How about you?
Not at all. Oh my gosh. Well, my weekend got off to a similar start. I had the honor of working for Congressman Graves from 2017 to 2019, and just such a huge loss for Louisiana for many reasons, but also, big picture, Louisiana had the opportunity to have a congressman chair the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which would be historic and huge for our state. So it's just really disappointing all around. I mean, Congressman Graves is one of the few members in Congress, I feel like, who really go to D.C. to represent their district and do everything they can to, make decisions to see their district prosper. So it's a huge loss for Louisiana.
Yeah, the Transportation Committee thing is big, because I can remember back in 2022, the end of 2022, when he was discerning whether or not to run for governor, he kept coming back around to that point. He's like, I'm one seat away from heading up transportation. And look, Mary Beth, how many times have you and I talked about the potential of a new bridge in Baton Rouge, talked about how badly Lake Charles needs a new bridge, talked about the $16-plus billion backlog that DOTD has, and just to be that close, to have it within reach, and then have it fall apart. Just, it's heartbreaking on that front. The other front, and I kind of want to pick your brain about this, and I know we need to talk education, but I got to ask you about this, because you know the man. Do you think he's done?
I don't know. I mean, look, I don't want to speak for Congressman Graves. I think that, honestly, there's so many opportunities and different avenues that maybe he could go into. He is the resident energy expert on the Hill. So I don't know, maybe something in that vein. But I don't think politically he's done. So I hope that for Louisiana's sake that he's not. I think that we have been so blessed with our congressional delegation as a whole. I don't want to dwell on this point because it's really sad. But, with the transportation and infrastructure opportunity that we just lost, I hope that he's not done. But, we'll see as the year goes on, and with the election in the fall, what happens and what shakes out. But it's a sad day for Louisiana.
No, it absolutely is. You're 100% right. And yeah, I'm torn on this too, because he has only sought one office. So when talking about his future, it's difficult to crystal ball it, because it's not like you're talking about your typical politician who's going to lobby and jockey for the next job.
Right.
I don't know where that comes back up. If it's in the sixth, it's in a revamped sixth again, and he's running against an incumbent, Cleo Fields, that there's that possibility. Or if maybe, Senator Cassidy decides to hang it up and the congressman feels like he could serve on that level. I don't know that either, but his ability to serve would have to be first and foremost.
And Brian, in his statement, he mentioned, this is all incumbent on if the map stays the same.
Right.
Maybe if the map changes, he sits this term out and then comes back in 2026. But, who knows? I think he's the only one that, really knows where his next move is. But he such a great family. His wife, Carissa, they are just some servant-hearted people and have served this state so well. And so, I'm disappointed to see him go. But hopefully this won't be the last we see of him.
No, same. Could not agree more. Okay, we have business to attend to as well. You've been following the legislative session and the changes on the educational front within the session. Break down what actually got passed.
Yeah, so hopefully we will have a governor's signature on a couple lobby priority bills soon. I'm not sure when that will be, but hopefully soon. So our priority bills were obviously education savings accounts, which we talked about this the last time I was on, Brian, but the version that got passed was more of a watered-down version of the original HB 745. So BESSE is going to be in the process of promulgating rules and regulations for the program this summer. So that's probably number one on our agenda as far as what we're looking at post-legislative session. But some other good things that got passed, the K-3 math screener by Representative Kim Carver and the increase to the Steve Carter Literacy Program, that bill was authored by Jason Hughes. Both of those passed very, very overwhelmingly in both chambers, and so we hope the governor will sign both of those. The other thing I wanted to mention, Brian, and this didn't come out of the legislative session, but came out of BSEE last week. BSEE just passed the new proposed accountability formula, which is huge news. You know, we in our conversations with stakeholders at the department, BSEE, and nationally with national organizations, they said that this formula could be one of the top five accountability formulas in the nation. And so it's very simple to understand as opposed to our current system right now. It's very clear the expectation on schools and students. And so we're excited for a couple reasons, but especially the work-based learning component. So we have businesses, our lobby member companies that are excited to welcome interns and apprentices into their companies. So that's the latest news. And so that was voted on last week. So I think that that process will begin. The accountability formula for your audience, Brian, won't be implemented until the 2025-2026 school year. So this coming up year, schools will get their scores from the old formula and then a simulation of the new formula. So that way they know where to go from there, because it will take a good bit of setup, adjusting from the previous formula.
Well, so as far as the scores of the schools are concerned, there's been a bit of, and Dr. Brumley's talked about this on the show a number of times, it's kind of misleading to see schools taking home A's and B's for their school when you got students that are, you know, they can't read at grade level, they're not clearing the hurdles on the math end. It's like, why is the school looking like it's an A or a B school if you don't have AB students coming out of it?
Right. And, you know, we've mentioned this before too, but, you know, when almost 70% of the public schools in Louisiana are A and B, but we're in the bottom 10 nationally, there's got to be some disparity. And so I think that was the problem that the department was trying to fix is, okay, we know that our scores are inflated. And look, I'm from Livingston Parish. I am a product of public schools. There are school districts that are doing this right. They are exceeding expectations when it comes to kids, and they are doing everything right. But we also have to look at the state from a 30,000-foot view. And at the end of the day, I mean, I think that this formula is very easy to understand. There's clear expectations for schools. And I think that across the board, we're going to see huge change. I mean, it's definitely going to be a transition, but I think that it's going to be great. And like you said, Brian, the old formula was very focused on graduation rate. And so I think that's part of the reason why the scores were so inflated. But I said that in my testimony last week at BSEE. So we're excited to hopefully see a much improvement on that front.
Yes. And if we do see a dip in the overall scores right off the bat, it's not time to hit the panic button. It's growth.
I mean, I think that's normal. And, you know, we a lot of our member companies are worried about, okay, if the scores drop, that means that the public schools aren't going to be as appealing to employees, you know, maybe moving to certain areas that businesses are choosing to invest in. But, you know, we've had conversations and we just talk about, look, they're going to be growing pains. But at the end of the day, we want to have schools that are actually A and B, not just an inflated A or B. So we want employees and families to know what they're getting, as opposed to just an arbitrary letter grade when they might not actually be an A or a B, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely it does. Can we talk about the governor signing the ACT requirement real quick and what this actually means overall?
Yeah, so that was a bummer, in all honesty. So we signed a letter along with our friends at Cable, Pelican, BSEE, the Board of Education, several other groups to urge the governor to veto that bill. This bill was House Bill 762 by Representative Dennis Bamberg. And Representative Bamberg is great. Like, we've had some great conversations with him, great dialogue. But at the end of the day, we just couldn't get on the same page. So this bill would remove the requirement for students to take the ACT, which the proponents of this bill said, well, our kids take too many tests. But the way we look at it is you have to have an ACT to apply for TOPS Tech, for TOPS, for any number of post-secondary education options. And so if you take that opportunity away from students, not only could they be missing out on an opportunity to reach their full potential, but they also might have to come back in a couple years anyway if they choose to do any number of post-secondary education options. And so it was definitely a bummer for us. It happened the day of the accountability formula passing. So they passed a new accountability formula, and then this bill was signed, which directly contradicts the new accountability formula. So I know that Dr. Brumley and Bessie is working to address how this fits into the plan. But it is just, it's unfortunate because with the new formula, it raises the bar for Louisiana students. And then right. A couple hours later, we lower the bar again. So we were very disappointed with that decision. But, you know, we're going to work to, you know, hopefully repeal it next year.
We got about a minute left with Mary Beth Hughes from the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. I know I'm probably asking the wrong person since you were opposed to it, but what's the benefit of removing the requirement of the ACT?
I think that, I mean, look, I don't really see a benefit other than the administration and teachers don't have to administer this test, and that we're not, you know, we hear a lot like we're over testing our kids. But at the end of the day, the ACT is an opportunity. It's not necessarily, like, I think we're thinking about this the wrong way in that, oh, it's just another test. Like, our kids are taking so many tests. But even if you don't plan on going to a four-year university, if you take the ACT and let's say you didn't have any intent on going to college, but then you score a 25 on the ACT and you're like, okay, I could actually, you know, I could do any number of things. So I think that the ACT should be viewed as a tool to get people out of generational poverty. I mean, Jason Hughes talked about that in his testimony on the House floor when this bill passed. You know, we're taking an opportunity away from the kids that need it most. And is it the end of the world? No, but we were very disappointed in that decision. And, you know, hopefully it can be addressed later on.
Yeah, if your plan was not to attend a four-year university, you're not losing anything there. And it could be eye-opening for somebody who had their heart set on a four-year university to say, hey, maybe we should open up our eyes to a different path. Just kind of a benchmark, kind of a gauge to say,
exactly,
this is where you're at right now, for better or for worse. If you were looking to, you know, if you were looking to not go to college and you pull a 25 or better on the ACT, maybe it's time to rethink that and say, hey, there's going to be TOPS dollars in line for you over here. And on the flip side of that, if you have your heart set on college and you're pulling down like a 17 or 16, then it's like, okay, maybe you want to take a year or two to work on a number of other things before you cross that threshold. It just, having a guidepost along the way, which, by the way, I don't want to speak out of turn here for public schools, but does it take time out of class? Because I've always known, and we're doing this with our oldest right now, you schedule an ACT time. It's not right. Like you stop math class to do the ACT and then get right back into it when it's time for history. Like, that's not how it works.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It is a guidepost, and there's no, in Law B's view, there's no downside to having them take the ACT. It's a bummer. I'll be honest. You know, we'll see what happens. I hope that we can work, get, you know, to a solution, because we don't want any kid to go without this opportunity.
She is Mary Beth Hughes with the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. We always appreciate the time, Mary Beth. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.